So for him to establish his will, he has to communicate to you constantly. He has to tell you what to do. He has to send thoughts to you. Until you actually do it. So if you are always thinking of resting, you're always thinking of resting. You have a demon of laziness that has come and slept on you. The demon of laziness is the top dog in you. Unfruitfulness, irresponsibility, and possibly you have the demon of poverty as well. That is lurking around. Oh, yeah. You are always thinking of having sex. You are always thinking of sexual thoughts. Like every 5 minutes you have to think of sex, something sexual. The spirit of lust is fellowshipping with you on a regular basis. I shouldn't say these things, because again, I'm talking to holy people. These are Jerusalem. Jerusalem. We are in Jerusalem. No. I'm sorry. I apologize for sharing such things to holy people. I think the only thing you need is white garments. I should just give all of you white garments because you are holy. That's how you know. And the Bible tells us to cast demons. Do you think? Okay, Mark 16:16. Who do you think the Bible is talking to here? Start from Mark 16:15. I want to talk about the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit, but these people are pulling me to talk about the influence of demons. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who is he talking to? Okay, who was he talking to here? His disciples. Come on, guys. I mean, some of you have been teaching you for years. You are still doing it's a new scripture. Come on, please. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. Right? 17. These are the signs that will follow those who believe. In my name. Number one, they will cast out demons. I wish I could know how many here are casting out demons. They are believers. But they don't cast out demons. Do you realize that as a believer, your number one job, the first thing a believer does, we have jumped to the second one, they will speak in new tongues. Like we have moved, we have made the second one the first one. The first thing a person who believes does, the first thing he does, he casts out demons. Why? Because that is the first confrontation you will face. As soon as you say you are a believer, as soon as you say you are following Jesus, as soon as you say you want to live for God, as soon as you say you want to please God, the first opposition is demons. That is the first group that comes. It starts there. So you gotta learn to deal with them. If you don't know how to deal with them, chances are you're not going to go far if you're Christianity. Am I communicating? You're not going to go far. Now, Christians are afraid of demons. Christians don't cast out demons. If I interview you guys that are here, how many of you have been casting demons since morning? I said, Pastor, I said since morning. I was saying since January. Me, since I haven't cast demons in January. So Jesus was wrong to refer that we should cast out demons. Was he making a mistake by saying such a thing? Could it be that he was aware that that is the first enemy you're going to face? When you say you are a believer, shall cast out demons. This is not these are the standards to follow pastors. Hello, somebody. These are the signs that will follow those who believe. So if you are a believer, this is one of the signs that you are a believer. One of the first signs. In fact, the first sign that you are a believer is that you cast out demons. Okay, you cast out demons where? Number one, in yourself. How? Who are you suggesting? From yourself. How many of you know the great man of God, Yonggi Cho? Of blessed memories. He's going to be on with the Lord now. Now, Yonggi Cho shocked the whole world, I think last year before he died. He said, Yonggi Cho had the biggest church in the world. Not in South Korea, in the world. 700,000 people every Sunday morning. Do you understand that type of number? He shocked the whole world. He says he casts demons out of himself every morning when he wakes up. Then he says every evening before he goes to bed, he casts out more demons out of himself. I say, how? Yonggi Cho. With the biggest church in the world. He's casting out demons out of himself every morning and every evening. Nothing could be more deceiving to us than thinking that you are safe. How can I when you are safe? You've been going to ABC. I mean, the man with the biggest church in the world is casting out demons out of himself every morning and every evening. I think you should be casting every minute. I'm saying you should be casting when? Out. In the name of Jesus, out. Like you should just be blasting constantly. Wow. But you find that we'll go for years. As some of us, our demons have brought their mother-in-law, they have brought their cousins, they have brought their friends, they are just having full, they're in an amusement park, you know? What is this thing in Joburg? Gold Reef City. They are cruising. They are going to slides. They are just sliding in you. They say, watch me. They go in the head. Let me say, pew. My God. They are just sliding. They are doing anaconda slide. My God. I see somebody here waking up to say, enough is enough. I know you are pure, isn't it? You are holy. But I'm saying, as pure and as holy as you are, check your thoughts. Your thoughts indicate demonic activity. Always, your thoughts indicate what? Well, I will write it down. My thoughts will always indicate demonic activity. Your thoughts are not just thoughts. Either your thoughts are indicating spiritual activity by the Holy Spirit, or they are indicating demonic activity. Your thoughts are never just neutral. But I'm always thinking of hurt, things that were done to them, who hurt them. You, a demon of unforgiveness is sitting on your neck. Yeah. I don't know whether you've ever found yourself in a place where you want to forgive a person, but you can't forgive them. Who knows what I'm talking about? Like, you really want to forgive. Like, even after you come to church, pastor preaches a message on forgiveness. You even feel bad and say, no, I'm going to forgive this person. As soon as you see their face, you say, not this week. Let me work on this thing a bit more. You know what is going on? I mean, when you want to do, you know, Paul taught us in Romans 7 that if I want to do something and I'm not doing it, he said, it is not me. There's another force that is now working against me. There's another force. And I would like to submit to you that unforgiveness, do you understand? It's also sponsored by there's a demon that comes and sits on you, on the head. It keeps using a knife in the wounds. So you are forever feeling the pain. Look, some people call Jesus Beelzebub. Have you seen that in the Bible before? Beelzebub. Beelzebub is the Lord of flies. The Lord of flies stands for Satan. It has flying spirit, demons, vampires. The Lord of flies. You understand where it's coming from? Now, what that does is that it indicates another job of demons. What do flies do? Flies carry diseases. They carry germs. Flies. Many people, before we discover scientific advancement that we have today, flies used to kill people. Now, we need to understand something about them. You don't need to call them. Have you ever had to call flies? Hello, guys, there's a problem here. Come. They just smell and they appear. Yeah. Those of us who used to ease ourselves in the bush, you are just demanding yourself calmly. Then you say, oh, and your good moment is gone. They are drawn to things that smell. They are drawn to blood. They are drawn to wounds. If you have a wound that is not healed, they will come and they will sit on it and defecate germs on it. That's what normal flies do. Now, I'm not saying that anyone with wounds that don't want to heal will always attract demons, because demons are flies. So they can sense, there are wounds here. Let's go and defecate there. And then they come. Before you realize, a small wound is now infected. What infects the wound is germs that are coming from flies. A small thing that you could have just quickly touched and fixed, you let it there. You let it open. No, I'm so hurt. I don't want anything. Let me cry. I'm hurt. You left the wound open. The flies were drawn to it through the blood. And they came and started poo-pooing in the wound. Left their staff inside, and their staff have not entered the wound, and the small wound is now becoming a fungus, a gangrene. People are sitting in the church with spiritual gangrenes. They are singing worship, but they have a spiritual gangrene inside, a wound that is not healing. Because demons are poo-pooing on that wound every day. Just the moment you want to forgive, they say, no, you can't forgive. Did he ask for forgiveness? Did he even show remorse? Please, you are hurt. Everybody wants, you are hurt. And then they use a knife inside like this. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. You are back to square one. May you find healing and deliverance through the word of God in Jesus' precious name. He said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. That's Beelzebub, the Lord of flies. Are you with me? So I'm trying to say to you, your thoughts are usually a revelation demonic activity that is currently taking. Your thoughts are never neutral. Please forget about, no, I was just thinking. You are not thinking. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. Your thoughts are not just thoughts. No. The soul is the interface between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. So anyone that wants to affect your physical realm must access the interface. Anyone, either God or demons, anyone that's going to affect your life physically must have access to your mind. It is the way it is. Or you should never think your thoughts are just some innocent things. The moment you have lost the battle at the thought realm, it's a matter of time. If you are entertaining thoughts and you say, no, it's just thought. Who told you that it's just thought? There's nothing like that. I think my Bible says, as a man think in his heart, so is that man. So you are your thoughts. Your life always gravitates to the direction of your strongest thoughts. I should stop this. I think you guys, you are just looking at me like, Pastor, can you preach a real message? Like, I feel this is a real message that I'm preaching here. I'm preaching a real message. Believers are not casting out demons. So I'm asking myself, where are those demons? Because Acts 16:17 says, this is the sign they will cast out demons. And you haven't been casting out demons. So where are those demons? Where are they? You have disobeyed the word of God. You haven't cast out demons. Can you give me Acts? Mark 16:17. In my name, they will cast out demons. If I do a survey here now, who has been casting out demons? It's nobody has been casting out demons. So I'm asking, those demons, where are they? Where are they? No, Pastor, they became afraid and they left. They got intimidated and they left. You are joking. Demons that were even cast out, they came back with reinforcement. You are saying that they got intimidated and they left. You know, they don't know what you're talking about. Your Christianity will take on a whole new level when you learn to obey the Bible. If the Bible says you should do something and you start doing it, you will see that you start enjoying Christianity. And if the Bible says you should do something and you figure out a way to excuse yourself out of that instruction, never be surprised when your Christian experience is not as stated in the Bible. Because here we are, told clearly, we say you will speak in tongues. Are we not speaking in tongues? I mean, some of us have been here since, we've been speaking in tongues since 3 o'clock. I did a prayer marathon today. I made people pray from 3 until 6. But he said, you will cast out demons. Cast out. Mean they are where? They are in. You can't cast out what is out. If you have to cast it out, it means it's in. It's in. And how do you know what it's in? Check your thoughts. Your thoughts will always tell you which demons are in you. Or at least the strongest. The strongest demons in you are always revealed by what you think about constantly. You're always thinking about leaving the church. That is the demon. The demon of vagabondage has come into your mind. The demon of hoping. You will be sitting here. That demon can say, leave this church. What are you doing here? Nobody loves you here. When was the last time Pastor called you? Nobody's interested in you here. Leave this church. You were happier before you even came. Now, ever since you came, you are having more stress. You try to cast out the thought. After you know that church is the reason why you are not happy. You could be having small boyfriend now, like this. Small boyfriend.
But here you are. Before you go for your small boat, you have to think of a shepherd. You have to think of cell leader. You have to think of all these things. Your joy is finished.
You get it?
So he suggests, look, the only solution, leave this church and become happy again. Oh. He said, abandon the name of Jesus. I cast you out. Get out. Then you have a free 3 hours. After that, you see that message that came on WhatsApp. That's all they talk about. They send message in the groups. Always, nobody is talking about you. Nobody cares about you. They keep sending message in the group. Let me at 4 o'clock. Let me at 6 o'clock. Hey, let's do this. Who cares about you in that church? I'm talking to somebody here. The devil has been talking to you in your mind. In your mind. That's where he comes. People expect to see somebody with a tail and all of it. He's not into those things there. Satan is a specialist of the mind. He comes. You see, if you watch the garden, do you see the snake opening his mouth to talk to Eve? Huh? Maybe your movie he's doing like this. But the movies me I've watched, he's just moving around. Because he's a spirit. He's talking to the spirit of the person. Just like you are sitting here and Satan is talking to you. Like, I mean, you don't need to have a physical person. Sometimes he uses physical people. Like the day my daughter hurt herself and I went to work and some people saw the picture and one person anointed by Satan came. No, by the time that guy was done talking to me, I realized Satan just spoke to me. I went to the toilet to pray because I realized that something has just happened. Like, this is not normal. Yeah. Yeah. The type of fear that guy downloaded on me, I realized, no, I need to go and pray. I'm not okay. I need to go and pray. So sometimes he has agents, but most of the time, he talks to you direct, in the mind. In the mind. And here you are. You are not pleading the blood of Jesus in your mind. Your mind is just an amusement park. So I've been teaching, plead the blood on your thoughts. Plead the blood in your mind. Plead the blood in your soul. Plead the blood. I've even added new ones. Can I give you the new ones I have added now. Plead the blood in your emotions. Some of your emotions are unruly, uncontrolled. Demons have sat on your emotions. And they are wrecking your life. Because you can't control your emotions. Why don't you send some blood there to start cleansing your emotions? If there are demons in there, let those demons be attacked. Your emotions. Now, I plead the blood in the feelings. Plead the blood. That is the thing that takes you kokwa. Your feelings. As holy with white garments as you are sitting here with, your feelings will now go shoop. Because they are uncontrolled. They are unruly. Plead the blood over your will. Your will. I'm giving you things where Satan is working. Not what you are thinking. Your will. Some of you, Satan has sat on your will. You can never make the right decision. You know what to do, but you can't do it. He's pressing you. No, wait, next week. Next week, next week. After next month. Your will is weak. Because demons are sitting on it. I'm talking to myself tonight. I think I should keep this message and I must preach it in Rebecca on Sunday.
No, no,
when I go to, I must preach this message on Sunday and Rebecca. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you guys that demons can sit on your will. You will see that this person is bad. I shouldn't go. But you will never be able to make that decision. You will continue being tortured. And you can't miss. You can't make the decision. Because demons are sitting on your will. They are sitting on your will. You know what is right to do. But you can't do it. No, no. Take your seat. It's revival assist. Plead the blood over your temperament. You see your temperament? Oh. Your temperament. The phlegmatism that some of us have made a wedding. You went for a wedding in Paris with phlegmatism. The wedding took place where? In Paris with phlegmatism. Some of us, the cholerism, that is in you. I mean, I was with Shepherd Lawrence the other day. We called this guy. We found this, he's doing nothing. Janice, he's doing nothing. I needed something to be done right away. So I said to him, no, let's just go on the street. We're going to pick a person. Okay. We found this guy, he's on his phone. He's doing nothing. We say, can you come and do this thing? He said, where? I said, get in the car. We are taking you there. You are asking where? Were you doing anything? So he enters the car. He's on the phone the whole time. He's on his phone. We arrive in the place. Okay, this is the job. Can you do this job? How much are you going to pay? What's going on here? Can you do the job? Yeah, I can do the job. That's my job. But how much are you going to pay? Eh? He said, okay, so how much do you want? He mentioned an amount. I almost fell off like... So he said, no, we can't. He said, okay, so how much? He asked us, how much can you give? He said, we're going to give you 150 rand. The guy, he went like this. I saw his movement. I saw that Shepherd Lawrence is not aware of the movement that me. I'm aware here that this guy, I started from this guy can now start beating. It's like, now the thing has become a personal matter. Like, the fact that we have mentioned 150 rand to this guy, is like, we have brought, this is a personal problem now. He's thinking what he must do to us. He couldn't believe that we can mention such an amount of money to pay him. So he took his tool. He said, you know what, guys? It's okay. It's okay. I said, no, why are you going? He said, no. It's his time. It's okay. He said, no, calm. He said, no, please. It's okay. Eh? The whole place became quiet. I said, my God. We were never going to give him 150. We were just joking with him. But I saw what anger can do. And how many things we lose because of anger. And I can assure you, that guy went and sat where he was sitting the whole day. Got nothing. Because the little joke we were making angered him so much. Took his things and left. The cholerism that has started on you and that is stealing every good opportunity from you. You can't control yourself. Just now you just stand up and you leave. You block. You cancel. Wow. Hey. Why don't you plead the blood of Jesus on that temperament that the blood of Jesus must start working in that temperament. Don't you think it's a good thing to plead the blood of Jesus in the negative aspects of your temperament? The melancholic brothers that are here, the way you will become, you enter into an analysis. Analysis paralysis. Why did he say that? I don't understand why he used that word. It wasn't the right word. Let's check the meaning of that word. My God. And you are getting deeper. You are getting deeper. You are thinking deeper. And even the way he was looking at me when he used that word. He keeps saying he was not talking to me, but I know he was talking to me because he was looking at me. And when he used that word, hey, my God. Melancholism. You can't move. You are just there. A month later, you are still on that word. You can't believe it. I'm telling you, a month later, you can't believe. 1 month later, they are researching the Greek meaning and the Hebrew. Even the Japanese meaning of that word. They are checking those things. Synonyms like, what was this? How can he use such a word on me? What did I do to give him the impression that he should use such a word when he's talking to me? The blood of Jesus in my temperament. My temperament. All sanguines that are here, you know you don't have a prayer life. You know, when I read the weaknesses of a sanguine, I was shocked. Number one, they don't pray. Don't have a prayer life. Is their biggest problem in this world carnality? Carnality. They can never relate to spirituality. But this, they don't hear from God. Don't hear from God. Because if you hear from God, you have to be. John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. It was by accident that Peter got that revelation. That and we know it was an accident because even Jesus told him that, look, flesh and blood, like this one, you didn't do any work. There's nothing that came from you to reveal this to you. This one, my father had to do it for you. And the very next minute, he had defaulted back to himself. The very next minute. He is now rebuking his leader. The devil has entered him. He's now in a whole new frequency. That's actually his normal frequency. That's actually where he operates from. And you will not plead the blood of Jesus on the negative aspect of your temperament. Rarely can I have a press and I'm not pleading the blood. I will blasting the blood all over. You have to constantly use it. It's for free. Why are you paying? I need to use more because I didn't pay enough. The thing is for free. The thing is 100% powerful and you are not using it. You are probably oppressed by demons that are telling you, you don't need to use it. It's not necessary. There are those that demons that are oppressing you so that you don't oppress them. I believe that as I'm teaching, you are receiving wisdom and you are receiving grace from God to break out of these deceptions. To break out of these deceptions. the influence of spirits in people's lives. This whole month of August, I will be teaching on the influence of spirits. Every Friday, you must come here every Friday and learn about the influence of spirits over your life. You must come and learn. You must come and learn, because a lot of us are just being blasted left and right. You don't know what's going on. Yeah. Remember years ago, I went to a wedding. And I was, because I could maybe like count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm hurt. Like I could not stay in a wedding with 30 minutes is a lot. Like if I survive 30 minutes and I'm not hurt yet, I think people haven't arrived. People haven't arrived yet. And that's why. The first 30 minutes, I'm already hurt. And I go and find a corner. And I sit there alone. I could even check. Sometimes I'll be going to the wedding and say, why do I keep doing this? I'm going again to another one. I'm going to get hurt there now. At the door. Somebody's not going to greet me, and I'm not going to like it. Or somebody's going to greet them more smile. Sir, are you having a problem that I'm teaching? All right. We're going to come together. They will greet this one with more joy. Where they will say, oh, Pascal, are you well? And I get hurt there. From the minute I start, it will start with hurt. I shouldn't say these things, then. So I remember one day after I got hurt like that, I went and I sat in my corner. And the Holy Ghost says to me, look on that side. And I looked. I saw other people that were there. They were talking. They were so happy. They were just... And I said, my God, why can't I be like this? Why can't I be like this? Why am I always the one that is hurt? Why my table is always the one that is quiet? Why my table is the table nobody wants to sit there? Why are people always asking, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Why? Why me? Why is it always me? People are asking, are you okay? Are you okay? People are always feeling sorry for me. Why must it always be me? And I look at those people, and they were so happy. They were enjoying the wedding. I envied them. Like I envied what they had that I didn't have. I envied them. But I didn't have a Pastor Pascal who could tell me, you are under the influence of demon spirits. They are enjoying. Like these demons are demons of sadness and pain. So when you are happy, they are not enjoying. They need you to be sad for them to enjoy. That's how it is. When you are having a demon of self-pity that is sitting on you, that demon is not enjoying when you are enjoying. That demon enjoys when you are feeling sorry for yourself. That's because that's who he is. So you have to do something that identifies him. So humans are living to please demons. So what we end up living? Our lives. I believe God is setting somebody free here. In the name of Jesus. You see, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice. You can't hear the voice of God when you are in the flesh. You can't. I'm telling you now. You have to be in the right frequency. You have to be in the right frequency. It's so vital. And Satan needs you and I in the carnality, in the flesh. That way we respond to his things nicely. So he likes it when you don't pray. You know that. He loves it. You don't have a prayer life. You have a lot of excuses why you can't pray. He likes it. I've been teaching it. I'll continue teaching this. Maybe one day you'll believe me. Some of you, today is a public holiday. I don't know why you are not here on time to pray. I don't know why. It's a public holiday. Satan will find something to keep you busy. What is that thing that you couldn't do tomorrow? 2 hours of prayer to secure your future. You can't come and pray for it. You are too busy. What will you conquer? And when will you conquer it? As Satan keeps conquering your prayer life. What did you do during those 2 hours that you cannot do in another time? You tell me. Those 2 hours that you could have come and prayed effectively, you can't come and pray. But what is that? This is what we are. So we downplay spirituality in the benefit of carnality. Yet we are surprised when we don't get the results we expect. How many times have I shared in this church? By the grace of God, most of what you people are looking for, God has already given me. By his grace. But I'll be praying here like I'm mad. Yet most of the things that you are hoping to get maybe in 3 years' time, I already have. Sometimes twice, three, me, I don't even know. Come and pray the way I'm like, yes, yeah. Pastor, you know, we are busy, Pastor. We'll come. Good. Public holiday. You could have said today, I'm going to hit 4 hours. It's my revenge. Oh? That is that when Satan inspired you. You know what? Go do this. Go at 6. At Grace Revival at 6. At 6. Go and be revived. Go and be revived at 6. You are not praying. You have descended into carnality. Evil spirits are doing roller coaster. They get on the head. Let's swing. Pew! To the feet. Some of you don't like what I'm teaching, isn't it? I say, no, Pastor, you are too hard. It is now I'm going to be hard. It is now like this. I'm going to be hard. You will see it. Amen. The sweet influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 33, NLT. Because my whole time has been spent on teaching you about demons, I will just introduce my subject tonight. But every Friday, this August, we are talking about the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has influences and they are sweet. Amen. Jesus also used this illustration. An illustration is something you use to convey a message. Like you are trying to teach somebody about this, but sometimes they are dumber. They can't understand that. So you use an illustration to make them understand this complicated thing. So Jesus used also this illustration because he was trying to help them understand what is the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? So he said, the kingdom of heaven is like. Do you understand? Like, if the best way for me to help you understand how the kingdom of heaven operates,
let's use this. If you can see how this operates, then by all means, you will understand how the kingdom of heaven operates. Because they are similar. Are you getting me? The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast. Never forget that. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast. If you know how yeast works, hello. If you know how yeast works, then you have to understand that that's how God's kingdom operates. The same way, say, the kingdom of heaven is like, you see, that thing that you see they call yeast, if you understand how it operates, that's exactly how my kingdom operates. It's like yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only she doesn't need to put a lot. She doesn't need to pour the whole yeast. So even though she puts only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Like she just put a little part here. She closed the thing. By the time she came back, that little yeast had permeated. It went down, it went up, it went this side, it went that side, it went everywhere. Influence. This thing, rather it never went there. Do you hear it? But if it ever go, like if you put door, you open it, same size, it is still 3 measures. No. That is telling you that yeast never went there at all. Am I talking? If yeast ever dashes that door, even you pray, you call Father Abraham to come and help you in prayer, that door will never remain the same. Jesus was starting to tell us that once the kingdom of heaven comes some way, there's no way you will remain the same. There's no way his kingdom can come. Doesn't leave a permanent. Can you take that door back to the first measure that it has lifted? You can never, even if you pray. Jesus was talking about the irrefutability of the impact that is a result of his kingdom going somewhere. Permeates every part, financial part, social part, mental part. It permeates. It doesn't just come for spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom, so let's go for spiritual. No. It permeates every part. If it is not the kingdom, then I understand. But if it is the kingdom of heaven that has come there, no. I cannot imagine how things are still the same. Somebody is pretending. Somebody is faking things. Somebody is saying something is there but is not there. I think I'm talking to myself. I'm going to go preach to Rebecca. I'm telling you. Somebody is pretending. Jesus was saying, you can never pretend that yeast is somewhere. You can never pretend. You can never fake the presence of yeast, my friend. It's either yeast is there, or it's not there. You can't pretend. You can't pretend. So Jesus was already saying, this is my kingdom. This is how my kingdom is. Either my kingdom is somewhere, or my kingdom is not there. But my kingdom cannot be somewhere, and things are just the same. Same way, same thinking, same friends, same life, same lies, same everything. You are saying you are going to church. Who told you that church is the kingdom of heaven? I'm asking, who told you that church is the kingdom of heaven? Who killed Jesus? Church people. Church people with big suits. They killed Jesus Christ. The high priests, the Levites, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These are all religious leaders. They are the one who killed Jesus Christ. And there are many modern day Pharisees in the church. Modern day Pharisees. What is a modern day Pharisee? A person who has been a Christian for a long time. Did you write the definition down? All modern day Pharisees are old Christians. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1933, comma. Do we eat that? Modern day Pharisees are people who've been in the church for long. They think they know everything. They understand everything. You cannot bring anything new. When Jesus said, I'm bringing a new commandment. Which new commandment? From where? Who sent you? We don't know you. More than the Pharisees. You can't teach them. They teach you. All the modern day Pharisees that are sitting here, they have been criticizing me from the moment I started preaching until now like this. They've been criticizing everything I'm saying. You are a Pharisee. I'm telling you. You are not just aware, but you are. I'm helping you understand yourself. You are a modern day, at least you are not the old type, modern day 2024 Phariseeism. That's it. 2024 Phariseeism. Modern day Pharisees. May God deliver us from such things so that we can receive the word of God and be changed, and be changed, and be healed, and be delivered. He said that the kingdom of God is like yeast. It's like yeast. It's like yeast. It can never touch you and leave you the same. Never. Things are going to change. Are you blessed? Yes. Yeah. Now let me not shock you. The kingdom of heaven came first of all in the person of Jesus Christ himself. Do you understand? He said, if I'm doing this miracle, then the kingdom of heaven has come near. He didn't say the kingdom of God is here. He said that the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you understand? But then he went to heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven came. The government of heaven is on earth today. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit that has the power that gets anything that you see happening in the kingdom. Kingdom is power. When you hear the kingdom of Swaziland, talk about the power of Swaziland. The kingdom of the British kingdom. Do you think they are thinking about beaches? Like
we are talking about the beaches of British. No, when you hear kingdom, kingdom implies power. And if you read your Bible, you will discover that every time power is mentioned, the Holy Ghost is the one. You shall receive power. When? When the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you powerfully. So, we now know that if the Holy Spirit is somewhere, the kingdom of heaven is there. Now, he's not saying that the Holy Ghost is like yeast. Even the smallest measure of him will be able to turn your life upside down, downside up. I mean, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Ah, if the Holy Ghost is really somewhere, I mean, what are you saying? You are still the same liar. You are still fornicating. You are still doing. Wait, what are you saying? I mean, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the Holy Spirit? No, I'm not talking. Are we talking about this? He says that the yeast can never leave you the same. Never. It cannot. It's not possible. I said it's not possible. Look at us. We are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. Look, rather than deceiving yourself, say to God, Lord, I need the real power. I need the real yeast to come here. I don't want to continue lying to myself. Somebody is asking me, okay, Pastor, you are saying I don't have the Holy Spirit. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, what do I have? Because me, I think that you are the one who laid hands on me and I got the Holy Spirit. Now you are saying it's not the Holy Spirit. What is it? I'm confused. Me, I'm confused. I don't know again. I'll answer you. Oh, yes. Just give me a second. I want to answer somebody. First Corinthians 2, verse 12. You are asking me, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, which spirit do you have? Do you understand that question? Somebody is asking me that question here. You are saying that I don't have the Holy Spirit. But me, I'm speaking in tongues. So which spirit do I then have? This is the answer. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world,
but the Spirit who is from God.
Brothers and two sisters, there are two spirits on earth. There are two spirits that are here. Are you listening? You can receive the spirit of the world.
Because it said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit. So it means that those are the two options that are there. It's either you have the spirit of the world or you have the spirit of God.
And they are both received. They are both received. So the question is, how do you know which spirit? How do I know, do I have the spirit of God or do I have the spirit of the world? Maybe I should also answer that, because somebody is asking a question to me indirectly. Like, okay, Muruti, so those are the two spirits. So which one do I, how do I know the one that?
When you have the spirit of the world, you love the world. The spirit influences. That is what it does. It brings an influence in your life. So when I have received the spirit of the, I can speak in tongues, but I am drawn to the world. My pursuit, my aspirations, the things that I dream about, the things that I want to achieve, they are all worldly, all of them. I think I should stop. That's how you know which spirit is working. There's such a spirit as the spirit of the world. It imparts the world to you. So you start loving the world. Even though you come to church, but you love the world. You love the things of the world. Your role models are worldly people. Your role model is not Isaiah. Your role model is not Jesus Christ. Your role model is not Timothy. You don't even know those names. You don't know those names. You have the spirit of the world. That is the spirit that is drawing you. That is the spirit that is influencing you. That's the spirit. Because you're asking me, Pastor, so I'm speaking in tongues, so what's going on with me? Yes, this is what is going on with you. What is going on with you is that you have received the spirit of the world. Even your tongues are worldly tongues. It's just that you haven't interpreted them. If we interpret your tongues, you will be shocked. You will be saying, I want to fornicate. I want to do this. I miss this. I want this. Like the interpretation of your tongues are worldly things. I want to smoke herb. I want to kiss. As you are there in the church praying in the spirit, you are not praying spiritual things. There's nothing spiritual that is coming out of your mouth. The only problem we are having here is that nobody is interpreting
the things that you are seeing. That's why the Bible says that you must not just pray in tongues. Pray also for what? Interpretation. Because if you don't interpret your tongues, you will be saying things that by the time you hear what you are saying yourself. This is the spirit that many believers have. They don't have the spirit of God. They don't have the spirit of God. They don't have the spirit of God at all. Just watch them. What's their pursuit? What's the thing? Look at what is in them. What is in them is imparted by the spirit that is inspiring them. He said, we have received not the spirit of the world. That's the spirit that people have received. And that spirit is working on them now. The latest hairstyle, the one, the latest jeans, the latest skirts. Pastor, so it shouldn't look nice. I didn't say it should look nice. Did I say that it shouldn't look nice? But I'm saying that, how come that's all you do? Which Holy Spirit are you having? Because your Holy Spirit doesn't do beyond hair, nails, boyfriend, beloved. Because now, I get it, we're not saying boyfriend. So you have now converted it, beloved, like this and this and this. Like, it doesn't go beyond that. What type of Holy Spirit is this? I'm asking you a personal question. What type of Holy Spirit is this? It is not the Holy Spirit. It is not. It is not. Let truth be told tonight. That is not the Holy Spirit that a lot of us have. We don't have the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to show you, when the Holy Spirit is in you, the influence is clear. You will see yourself, the fruit of the Spirit, your desires, the way He's going to lead you, the things He's going to start, the things that you will start wanting to do. You yourself will be surprised. Ah, me. I've really changed. Like, until you can say to yourself, no, I've really changed. Have you had a personal testimony to yourself? I've really changed. Yo, I'm different. Yo, today me used to be selfish. Today I wake up, I go visiting people. Me, all my prayers were me, myself, and I. Today I will pray the whole night and I'm praying for people. Hey, I've really changed, eh? Yo, I'm different. Hey, who can testify? You see now, you see now, you see now, as I'm beginning to tell you who He is. You say, yeah? The Spirit of righteousness, He's been bringing on us. Receive. My God. This is the receiving generation. The receiving generation. That's all they do. They receive. And they have received the spirit of the world. Ask them. They are sitting here. Ask them, do you have spiritual dreams? Like when you dream, you see an angel coming to say to you, go, tomorrow, go there and preach to so and so. You are kissing Jay-Z. Those are the things that you are into. The spirit of the world. That is what is operating in the people today, and they are calling it the Holy Spirit. It's a counterfeit thing that Satan has introduced in the church. Do you understand? And that is why we can't confront it, because the person is speaking in tongues. The person is blasting in tongues.
They are blasting. Like, it's not just, they are blasting. That you are even intimidated. But they don't have character. They don't have fruit. There's nothing. The tongues. You are living here because the heat is too much. You are running there. Even there, the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to touch you. Even from there where you are standing, I'm telling the truth. Praise the Lord. Is anybody blessed tonight? When yeast comes, you will know. No, nobody is going to have to say, no. You will know because it will affect you, brother. Your size will change. Your heart will change. Everything about you will change. Why don't you want that? Why do you want these fake things? That we have to explain ourselves all the time. We are living a double life. We have to always pretend when you are here, you are this, you are there, you turn this, you are there, you become this. You know what I mean? That, look, that's the Christianity of today. Christianity of many characters. Actors. Some of you must receive what do you call this thing? Oscars. You must receive some Oscars. Best actor of July 2024. Best actor. But I'm asking, why do I have to act a life I can live? Do you know all those things people are acting on movies there? People are living that. Like that thing, somebody is acting to be rich. Another person is actually rich. So I say to you, don't act to be rich. Do you understand? Receive the true spirit and you will receive that impartation. And you will truly become rich. Stand on your feet, everybody, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shandoro makandara mashandere mandara mandara mandara. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul went to Ephesus and he found 12 believers. He asked them a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believe? I'm so proud of those believers. Eh? They didn't say yes. Yeah. I mean, huh? You think we'll be here if we don't have the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? And these people answered the truth. They said, no. We have not even heard that there's something like that called the Holy Spirit. We've been operating the spirit of the world. And we thought it's okay. They said, no, it's not like that. That's why our members, the way they are. They don't even look saved most of the time. They are saved in church. As soon as they are out there, another character starts. Because the Holy Spirit is not there. The Holy Spirit changes people, my friend. He changes people. He turns their lives around. Desire to be touched by the Holy Spirit. Don't just desire to be a church member. You come to church. And so what? I'm telling you that it is church people that kill Jesus Christ. Why are you saying you come to church? What do you mean by that you come to church? What does that mean? The power is not there. The real thing you should desire, I don't want the spirit of the world, because a lot of us have it. You know yourself. You know that that's the thing that inspires you every day. You are not inspired to work for God. You are not inspired that your everything about you is just the world. If I could have iPhone 15, if I could have, man, when am I going to have this? When will this come? I mean, that is all you are thinking about. The world has filled your heart. Bible says that this world will pass out. And the last day of.
But the Bible also says that the man who does the will of God shall live forever. Which one do you prefer? To save the world for a season and disappear into oblivion forever? Or to rather do the will of God and be remembered forever? Be remembered forever. Why do you want to live a double life? You think you are faking, you are deceiving, Pastor. No, no, no. At least Pastor doesn't know. I'm safe. Did I die for you? Okay. Do I have a heaven that I'm taking you to after you die? Okay, keep saying that you are deceiving. If I had a heaven, Pascal Ngwe heaven, my members, the good news, I don't have any heaven. Me, myself, I'm fighting to make it. And you are saying you are deceiving me. You are feeling you are safe because you deceive me. Do I own heaven? Do I have the keys? Keep deceiving me. No, keep deceiving me. And keep feeling good that, no, Pastor doesn't know this. Pastor doesn't know this. I mean, I'm okay. You'll be shocked. That Pastor doesn't have the keys of heaven. Pastor doesn't even know the way there. I'm here fighting for my own life. You are saying you are deceiving me. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Rather decide, choose your side. Choose your side. These believers that are living a double life, they come and pretend to be something. They are charged with the charged. Just check their statuses. They give themselves away all the time. Just check their profile pictures. Just check their status. They show you this is actually who I am. They give themselves away. And I want to say to you, you are not just giving yourself away, you are revealing yourself to yourself. Rather, look at your pictures and ask yourself, am I born again? Look at yourself. Look at your pictures. And ask yourself this personal question. Am I born? Am I actually born again? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever is born again is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. Let's start with salvation. Get saved. Get saved. And you'll not be the first, because Nicodemus was a pastor, but he was not born again. Get born again. Some of you are trying to be spiritual, but you are not even born again to start with. Like that's actually what the problem is. Your salvation is questionable. Where did you get saved? Where did you get saved? Actually, like, who led you to Christ? You just enter church and then you started moving. Before you know, you are making so much noise that we started saying, no, I think you should join the choir. And I think you should join the prayer group. I think you should join this. And but you are not saved. Then you also started entertaining the deception. Yeah. I'm in the system. It's our church. Can I show you something? I'm going to end here. This is the biggest shock. If you thought you were shocked, I'm about to give you what? Shabaya! I want to give you a shock. I thank you, sir. Come with me the book of Matthew 22. from verse 1. We're going to read this, Matthew 22 from verse 1, and I'm going to pray. Are you ready? And Jesus answered them and spoke to them again by parables, said, 2, the kingdom of heaven is like. Are you flowing with me? Because I've been doing the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. He used this thing to help people understand. He said the kingdom of God is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Hallelujah. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you get here? Without a wedding garment. And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here is the shock. Do you understand that this is about heaven? People are invited to go to heaven. And some refuse. And then the king decides, that is God. He decides, okay, take the good and the bad. Take the people. That is us. The people that were invited to the wedding are Jewish people. They rejected Jesus. He came to his own rejected him. Then God became desperate. Then God turned to people like us. People from the highways and the roads. The good and the bad, and he collected us. Now come to the wedding. But this is the shock. Right in the wedding hall, I'm sure you understand. When you are making it to the wedding, you are in heaven. This is like you are. This is where you are. You've made it. Somebody is in the wedding without the wedding garments. And he is spotted in heaven. Even God was surprised. That, my friend, how did you get, like, how did you manage to get here? There are such people, CIA guys, that even in heaven, they will make their way. CIA. FBI. But look at the embarrassment. That you saw heaven. I made it. Oh my God. Mama, I made it. Hey, I'm here. My God. After my life on earth, I'm finally here. I made it to heaven. And God is checking. When I come here, how did you get here? Imagine to be in such a place. And now you are saying to bind this guy. Head and feet. Throw him out.
What could make a person like that get the double life? It's a double life. He keeps lying to everybody. And he even managed to lie to angels. And he made his way. Like, these are professionals. Like, they are this close. You can never know who they are. That even God was surprised. That this guy, how did you get here? I'm asking myself, how did you pass the checks? Because when you see wedding garment, everybody's wearing this. And we know what it is. It's a white robe. So this guy's not having the white robe. How did he get there? In heaven. It's a perfect pretender. Perfect liar. Carries the spirit of the world. Manipulate things. You see, it pays bad at the end there. Was it Pastor Pascal talking to the man there? Okay. I'm trusting God, I'll be in my mansion, drinking my cocktail. planning my visit to go see some of my guys. No. Call me. I don't know you. I said, do I know you? We don't know each other. No. I had a pastor. No, how did you make it? No. I had a pastor. No, go back to verse 12. Go back to verse 12. Friend. And I cheat for us. Friend, I hear without wearing clothes. I don't understand. How is it? My friend. They were used to church without church clothes. Manipulating systems, entering choir, entering worship, entering preaching, entering this, entering that. They just manipulate. Nobody knows them. And when they get to the heart, they feel very powerful. Hey, Pastor Pascal, I feel sorry for this guy. He doesn't know me, you know? He doesn't know who I am. Shame. And he really loves me, you know? I mean, he's always asking good questions. He doesn't know. Doesn't understand who he's dealing with. Shame. He's trying, man. Let's support him. He's trying. Shame, man. I mean, if we all leave the church, we'll die. No, let me tell you something. I'm here to help you, but I'm here initially for me. Even my son is there. I'm showing him the way. He has to decide. I don't force anybody. I show the way. This is the way. Walk in this way. If he decides tomorrow he doesn't want to follow, God forbid. I've shown the way. I want you to pray and say, Lord, if I'm really under this influence of the spirit of the world, and I know some of you don't need to say if. No. I mean, you know. They said, Lord, I think I now understand my problem. I am heavily under the spirit of the world. And I'm using tongues to deceive myself. What I like about the Bible has never said you shall know them by their tongues. And we are using tongues. Ticket. No. I speak in tongues. You shall know them by their fruit. What they produce. Fruit is what you produce. What comes out of you. Before we sleep here, let's just pray. Because I think I'm under a heavy inspiration right now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Father, deliver me from the spirit of the world. I want the Holy Spirit, the yeast that changes everything.
Open your mouth and begin to pray that prayer, everybody. Shandaramagodama Shandaramandara.
Deliver me, Lord. Deliver. If you need a corner on the side, please go find it. But pray sincerely. Pray sincerely. Pray sincerely. Don't pretend. Pray sincerely. This is not that moment where you are just pretending. This is a very important moment where you are talking to God about your faith, about your future. Make it count, church. Make it count. Make it count. Make it count. Pray from the depths of your heart. Jesus, I can see that the world is chasing me. I can see that my decisions are worldly. Deliver me from this. Cause me to come in contact with the true Holy Spirit. The true Holy Spirit that changes lives. The true Holy Spirit that changes the minds, the aspirations, the vision of people.
To him, say, Lord, I can see that I've been under the influence of the spirit of the world. I can see it. I can see it in my pictures. I can see it in my videos. I can see it in my words. I can see it in the message I send to people. I can see that I am worldly. But Father, I want to be spiritual. I want to be spiritual. I know there is no hope for me in the world. Take me out of the world. Now take the world out of me. Now take the world out of me, Father. Take the world out of my system. Take the world out of my system. Let the cross enter me. Let the cross of Jesus enter me. Take the world out. Take the world out. You took me out of the world. Now take the world out of me. Let me be a lover of the world. A lover of the word. A lover of the spirit. A lover of the things of God. Somebody's praying that prayer. Somebody's praying that prayer now. You are praying that prayer. You are praying that prayer from the depths of your heart. From the depths of your heart. Is passing away. You said it, that this world is passing away. You said, do not conform to the patterns of this world. I know those scriptures, but I still don't understand why I find myself drawn to these things. I don't understand, Father, but tonight I want to pray for mercy. Somebody pray for mercy, because at this stage, all you need is the mercy of God. You need mercy. You need mercy. You need mercy. Shale katamanama. Oh, Father, win my heart. Father, win my heart. Win my heart for you. Let my heart be for you. I don't want to have a divided heart. I don't want to be a double-minded person. 1 minute I'm with you, the next minute I'm with Tom, the next minute I'm with Jerry. I don't want to live like this. I have made my commitment. I have chosen my side. I have chosen Jesus. I have chosen the kingdom of light. I don't want to go back in the kingdom of darkness. I don't have any connection. The Bible says, what fellowship is there between light and darkness? What fellowship is there between the temple of God and demons? What fellowship is there? What am I doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Shut up, my head.
Jesus over our feelings, the blood of Jesus, Lord. We apply the blood of Jesus over our emotions, oh God. We apply the blood of Jesus over our thoughts. We thank you, God, that because of the blood of Jesus, every negative thought is neutralized by the blood. Every self-destructive thought is neutralized by the blood. Every worldly desire is neutralized by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for giving us victory over the works of the world, over the love of the world, over carnality, Lord. We thank you that we are becoming spiritual. We are becoming spiritual. Yes, we are receiving the grace tonight to be spiritual men, spiritual women. We thank you that the grace is being poured out even in this moment. We are rising to be spiritual people. We are rising to not become like the world, to not copy the world, to not walk as the world walks, to not reason as the world reasons, to not think as the world thinks. Oh, we are receiving the mind of Christ. Let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We are receiving the mind of Christ tonight. We thank you for giving us victory, Lord. We receive victory tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. With every head bowed tonight and every eye closed, you are in this place. You've heard the message. And the word of God has spoken to you. And you have even begun to ask yourself, am I born again? Do I belong to Jesus? Is my name really written in the Lamb's book of life? Because the things that Pastor has been talking about and the effect of our salvation, the effect of the presence of the Holy Spirit, is it evident in my life? Am I truly born again? And you're saying, based on the message that I've received tonight, I realized I might not be born again as I thought I was. I might not be standing as I thought I was. Right now, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit to enter me and to influence me and to take over. I want to give up my old life, my old ways. I want to be transformed. I want to be a new creation. I want to receive a new nature, the nature of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, the attitude of Jesus, the mannerism of Jesus. I want to part ways with who I was. I want to be a new person. I want to receive that grace tonight. If that's you tonight, you're saying, it's me. The signs are there. The evidences have been there. It's me. I pray in tongues. I go to church, but there is no fruit of my salvation. There's no fruit. I'm not yielding the fruits of the Spirit. It's me. That message is for me. If you are that person, I want you to just take a bold step and come and join me right here. If you're saying, Pastor, that's me. That word was for me. Don't delay. Don't look around. Take a bold step wherever you are. You're saying, you know what? It's me. I've been looking churchy. I've been sounding churchy. I've been speaking Christian-y. I've got the form of godliness. I have the form. I look like I'm a Christian. I look like I love God. I look like I fear God. I look like it. I sound like it. I know scripture. I quote scripture. But truly speaking, my behavior, my connections, my desires are worldly. My attitude is worldly. My character is unyielded. Oh, it's me, Pastor. It's me. I want to be saved. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to love like him. I want to love what he loves and hate what he hates. I want to be completely surrendered to Jesus tonight. Lift up your hands to Jesus, not to men. You are not raising your hands to men. You are raising your hands to Jesus. You're saying, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I want you to begin to cry out for help. The Bible says when Jesus was leaving, he said, I will not leave you alone. I will leave you with a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he will help you in your weaknesses. So I want you to lift up your hands to Jesus and say, Holy Spirit, you are my helper. Please help. Come on, cry out to Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Come on, raise up your voice and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Rescue me. Deliver me from myself. Deliver me from this nature. Deliver me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Come on, cry out to him right now. Who is he who overcomes the world but he that believes believes that Jesus is the Son of God, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you receive world overcoming power. It's falling on you right now. Even in this moment, you are receiving that power to overcome the inclination to act in a worldly manner. Your flesh will not dominate you anymore. Carnality will not have its way with you anymore. When you say yes to Jesus, so come on, raise your voice and say, Jesus, I say yes. I say yes to you. I say yes to your will. I say yes to your desire. Control my life, Holy Spirit. Lead me, Jesus. Take over. Take the steering wheel. I say yes. Come on, give him a new yes. A new yes. A new yes. Tell him, Jesus, this is a new yes from me. A new commitment from me. A new desire from me. A new, I'm renewing my vows with you, Jesus. I don't want to pretend about it. I don't want to fake it anymore. I really want to be transformed. I really want to be changed. I really want to be renewed. I really want to be like Jesus. I want to be like you, Lord Jesus. It's a new yes today. It's a new yes. It's a new yes. Raise up your hands to Jesus as a sign of surrender and repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I've prayed this prayer before. Dear Lord Jesus, I've said these words before. Dear Lord Jesus, I've come here countless times, but here I am again. Here I am again. I surrender my life to you. With my hands lifted up, I really surrender. I believe you died for me, and on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to say thank you. And right in this moment, Father, we apply the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus over this ones, Lord. The blood of Jesus that gives us victory. The blood of Jesus is burning out any worldly ways, any carnality, any old nature. We declare that as your people go back to their seats, Lord, that you are doing a new thing. Shall you not see it? Shall you not see that the Lord is making a way in the wilderness? Shall you not perceive it? God is doing a new thing. We believe it for you. We believe you for that, Lord. We believe that you are doing a new thing over this ones, Lord. You are giving them a clean slate. You are rewriting their story on the 9th of August. You are making all things new, Lord. I pray tonight that you will give them the grace to follow us, to follow you forward, Lord. I pray that you give us the grace to follow you forward, to not turn back to our old ways, to watch out. Holy Spirit, may we hear the sound in our ear telling us this way, telling us that way, no to that, yes to that. May we hear your voice. May you open their ears, oh Jesus, and cause them to hear your voice. And may you put a guard on our mouth that we may watch what we say with our words. May you help us, Holy Spirit, and really contain and be contained in us, be inhabit us, really dwell in us, really saturate every fiber of our being, every area. Father, we give you everything. We give you everything. We give you everything, withholding nothing. Every part of us belongs to you, Father God. Every part of us will be under your dominion. It's under your control, under your sovereignty, oh Father God. We thank you, Father, that the world will not influence us anymore. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we have prayed. Amen.